Ladies and gentlemen, we present a radio program in English.
I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
And now, on London Taxi Radio, it's the Mick the Brit podcast with Mick the Brit, broadcasting from a secret location south of the river. And here's your host,
Mick the Brit.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we're back. How are you? Hope you had a good week. I didn't. More about that later. My name's Mick the Brit, and welcome to the second podcast of the series. Yes, we've gone all podcast now, not broadcast, which was a combination of a show, a podcast, shall we say, that was broadcast, and then it became a podcast. Or a podcast that was broadcast. No, this is just a straight podcast. And I'm a London taxi driver. I've been driving a London taxi cab for 30 years. I also run London Taxi Radio, so to speak. And generally enjoy radio. So this is kind of a mixture of this and that. But we got a very, well, I'd like to say special, but it's quite a good podcast for the second show. So, as I always believe, have a good start and a good finish when it comes to your podcast and, well, anything you do, really. So, without further ado, here's something we did earlier with, well, you'll find out. And welcome to the second edition of the Mick the Brit podcast. Big one today, because on the other end of the line here, we've got Mr. John Gaunt. Yes, Gaunt is here. Hello, John.
Hello, Mick. Good to be talking to you again and to the rest of the London black cab trade, if there's any left, that is.
Yeah.
Good talking to you. What do you want to say?
We're fading away. Well, the main reason here, John, is because the last time we spoke, we were talking about Simple as Fat. Now,
yeah.
This is fantastic, and you're quite right, since you started it, it's not you so much personally, but the actual lifestyle, the diet itself, low carb, no sugar, high, good quality animal fat diet, has come under fire from the press, and I just want you to put some myths surrounding what they're saying straight.
Well, it's not so much it's come under fire. I mean, I think what's actually happening is the low-carb, high-fat, good-fat, as you say, lifestyle is becoming much more popular. In fact, the chief executive of Weight Watchers said that their stock had dropped by 33%, and she attributed this to keto-style diets like ours, ketogenic diets, low-carb diets. But she said it's a fad and it'll go away. Oh, really? Poor old Oprah Winfrey, she's crying into a handkerchief because she's the major shareholder in WW, as it's now called, Weight Watchers, right? So that's what's going on. Big business, big food, big pharma. Because more and more people are realizing you can fix your own health, change the way you are, reconnect with your body, lose weight, maybe even reverse your type 2 diabetes and guard against things like obesity, strokes, heart attacks, etc., etc., dementia. If you're eating not just our way, because we haven't invented anything, I've just refined it. So it's low carb, high fat. So big food, big pharma don't want that message out there. So they're going to attack and they're going to say, oh, it'll give you a heart attack. And all the usual myths and, dare I say it, BS about, you know, animal saturated fats lead to a heart attack. It's nonsense. And if people just want to go to my website, there's a big free part there, www.simpleasfat.com. There's a brilliant podcast on there by a woman called Zoe Harcombe, and she'll dispel all the myths about cholesterol and the link between cholesterol and heart attacks. It's flawed science. It always was flawed science, but they're now very, very petrified of the fact that these kinds of diets are working, are changing people's lives. And then added into that, there's the whole vegan stroke vegetarian lobby at the moment, who are trying to convince us if we eat meat, all that cow shit is going to destroy the world and destroy the planet. It's just nonsense. It's all propaganda. Look, if you want to be a vegetarian. Even if you want to be a vegan, although I think it's an unhealthy lifestyle, not vegetarianism, veganism, because you cannot get B12. And so I think it's bad, personally, but if you want to do it, do it. But the low-carb, high-fat thing is taken off all around the globe. I mean, you know, everybody from Kate Silverton, the BBC newsreader, through to people like Gwyneth Paltrow, through to people like the woman who came out of the sea, Halle Berry, they're all getting into it. There is something in it. Big food, big pharma don't like it, so there's propaganda against it. And we've had a bit of that with Simple as Fat. But all I would say is, go to simpleasfat.com and look at the success stories. Look at people like James in Sunderland, who lost 4.5 stone in about 5 months. I can only point you to them and what they say about it. All I know from my own point of view as well, Mick, and I know you've done it, I feel a lot better, I look better, I look 20 years younger. I've still got more to lose, but it's more about the mental bit. It's made me more focused and the rest of it. And it's a free world. You don't have to do it. If you want to do it, try it out. We have got loads of cabbies who have done it, because let's face it, you boys and girls, you're primed for a heart attack, you lot are, because you're sitting on your backside all day. So this style of eating and the motivation we give on the website might be what you're looking for. But as I say, we got loads of members now, so I'm not so desperate to plug it. But if you want to try it, try it.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, John, there probably are one or two cab drivers sort of thinking, shall I, shan't I? But, you know, my own testimonial is that I paid for it. I did the 90-day plan. And with that 90-day plan, you get 90 little podcasts from your good self as motivational podcasts, which is something fantastic. They do work. You've got the recipes. You've got the shopping list. You've also got this group, shall we say, this group therapy Facebook page, which you go live on twice a week.
I think that is the most vital bit, really, Mick. Yeah, we've got a Facebook members group where people can talk and people can give support to each other. And, that's a vital part of what you get with your membership.
Yeah, and the other thing, John, of course, is, you know, you've had some great testimonies from people that have reversed their type 2 diabetes, they've lowered their blood pressure. Now, these are all contributing factors into maintaining a taxi driver's license. So it's livelihoods that are at stake. So
if you've got a blood pressure problem, the one thing I'll say, if you eat low carb, high good animal fat, and you follow our instructions and you do a bit of walking, you will lower your blood pressure. And as you say, blood pressure is one of the things you get tested on for obvious reasons, but you can control it. My blood pressure was through the ceiling. And just with gentle walking, with eating the right food, and it's really, I'm telling you what the problem is, Mick, you know this because you've been on it, it's excess sugar. And there is sugar in loads of stuff, in processed foods. You know, we all know that. You might not know this, in a bottle of tomato ketchup, half of the bottle, listen to me, half of the bottle is sugar, right? That's the danger. Wow. You've got to cut down on the excess sugar, because it's that excess sugar that is linked to inflammation, and it's that inflammation that leads to all those terrible chronic diseases. And it's not just me saying this, the Alzheimer's Society has said you must cut down on sugar, because sugar is one of the major effects on dementia or Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's all good common sense, but you'll be amazed by how much sugar is hidden in stuff. And so you've really got to get on top of that. You know, they used to always make out that salt was the big thing with blood pressure. It isn't salt, it's excess sugar. And starchy carbohydrates like potato, rice, pasta, they turn immediately to glucose and blood sugar in your body. That gives you the spikes and then the crashes. That's what makes you eat the rubbish food. And cabbage, you know, this is the big thing. You should really start every day with a fried breakfast. You know, obviously not the bread or the hash browns, but you should be having bacon, or not the beans either. But you can have bacon, fried eggs, you can have sausage, you can have black pudding, and that will keep you going for longer. Because I do know a lot of you boys and girls, you eat rubbish because you haven't got time or you haven't had time to prepare. And the reason I know this is because we've had so many cabbies on it and who have done very well. We've got a lot of truckers now as well, Mick. So it's about just changing your attitude to food, and we guide you through that. And like I say, just check out the website, simpleasfat.com, and make your own decision, you know, make your own decision about your health.
Yeah, yeah. And John, as both, I think it would be fair to call you a meatitarian, perhaps, like my good self. I'm also a meatitarian. I think it's fair to say that this is now coming under attack under the environmental banner.
It's all rubbish. Ignore it. Ignore it. Just take control back of your own body. I was on over 10 pills a day. Yeah. I'm on no pills now. My blood pressure is normal. I have reversed my type 2. We can't promise that everyone would reverse their type 2 by doing this, but you can certainly help yourself. And the biggest thing in the world is to get your blood pressure down and your blood sugar levels down as well. And we'll show you how. And we charge at the moment. It's $9.99 a month if you pay monthly. But if you pay yearly in advance, you can have 12 months for the price of 8. So it brings down the monthly price to £6.59. It's, you know, what is it, a pint? Just over a pint. By the way, you won't be drinking that either. But you still can have red wine, as you know me. It isn't, this isn't like living like a monk. You're going to eat great food, steak, cheese, cream, you know, just lovely grub, basically. You're just going to cut out on all the processed stuff. Anyway, that's what I'm doing.
That's fantastic, John. And, of course, you've got your daily podcast as well going on there.
I'm doing it 4 days a week when I have the time. I won't do it anymore because I'm doing it from home and because I'm my own boss now. If there's nothing to talk about, I don't do it, Mick, because what I hate about LBC and talk radio, and I'm not having a go at them, by the way, I used to do this. Sometimes you have to fill it with stories and subjects that on a normal day, on a busy day, you'd never use. And because I don't have to do a show every day, I just feel that gets you out of that tyranny of doing subjects you're not that interested in. So I'm much preferring the freedom. But there's quite a bit to talk about at the moment with Jeremy Kyle, the unfair sacking of Danny Baker, of course, and Brexit today. As we know, Theresa May is going to go. Go on.
Let me play my theme tune now. Here we go. Yes, that's right, John. That's the theme tune to The Muppets, because I have to say, 99 out of 100 times, I generally agree with what you say. But, you know, you've said yourself, even when you was on the radio, there are going to be times when you're not going to agree with me, but that's okay. We can talk about it. So I think it's this last week, you on your podcast, you said, and I'm going to quote you, John, anyone who thinks Danny Baker is a racist is a Muppet. Well, John, I'm afraid I'm a Muppet, but it's not generally.
Well, hang on a minute. What evidence have you got that he's a racist?
Well, I haven't, but what got me, John, was the...
Hang on a minute. So you can call people racist?
No.
Hang on. All right. I worked with Danny Baker for 5.5, nearly 6 years. The man hasn't got a racist bone in his body. Over to you.
Okay, but his team, Millwall Football Club. Now, it was the guff that he came out with afterwards, John. He was digging a hole and it was getting deeper and deeper there for him. And what I'm trying to say by that... Actually, let's go to the very beginning, because both you and myself have been victim of trolls, have we not?
Yeah.
Right. Why was he picking on a newborn baby? Just been coming to this, into this world.
This is the whole point. You clearly didn't listen to what I was saying. I worked with him for the best part of 6 years, as I say, maybe longer.
Yeah.
Dan Baker.
Radio London. Go on.
is many things. He's not a racist, right? He's not got a racist bone in his body. I saw that tweet when it went up, and I thought, oh, that's not very funny. Danny, you're taking the mickey out of the royal family. Why are you doing that? It's a big six for me, right? Because I'm a bit of a monarchist, really, and I know Harry's privileged, but he's also had a terrible childhood, and I know she's privileged and all the rest of it, but they're having a baby. Leave it off. That's what I thought when I saw it. And when I saw the monkey, I did not see a black person, because I'm not a racist. And I don't think Danny is either, which is why he didn't see it. He was taking the mickey out of the royal family, right, being privileged and playing the media circus.
Ah, monkey. Circus.
So let me finish. All right. Very important.
Go on.
Monkey circus in clothes. That's what he was doing. He's done it before. He does it on his show. I don't think it's particularly funny, and I think it's very six for me, right? That was my objection, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I went back to it about an hour later, and everyone's calling him a racist. I thought, bloody hell, I hadn't even seen that. He then, to be fair, I know you say he dug a hole, and on one level I kind of agree with you,
right.
But he did apologise, and he took it down. Do you want to live in such a censorious society that one mistake, you lose your job? Behave yourself.
No, of course not, John.
You also said some other rubbish about old Millwall. Well, I support Coventry City, and I can remember being at Coventry City on Highfield Road. We haven't got the reputation that Millwall have, and people chuck bananas at players on the other side. It's disgusting. There's no place for racism.
So, all right.
And that doesn't make him a racist, you idiot.
No, John, what I'm saying is the connection is there, isn't it? Other people make that connection with the banana. You've just said that.
Sorry? Danny didn't say that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when he apologised and took it down, that should have been the end of the matter. What's going to happen now, Mick? Let me tell you, because of little people like you, right, and the Twitterati, the twatter mob, the BBC, every time anybody complains and manages to stir it up, whether it's about trans issues, it could be about black cabs, it could be anything like that, right? They're going to then back down straight away and sack the person. We've had the same thing with Jeremy Kyle, another friend of mine. That bloke has killed himself. Well, we don't even know if he's killed himself, right? Because there's not been a coroner's inquiry yet or a verdict. But Jeremy Kyle's lost his job. So are 15 other people. And everyone's saying, oh, that programme's terrible. It's this and it's that and it's the other. Most of the people on Twitter slagging that off will never, ever have watched Jeremy Kyle. We cannot live in a society where the mob, the witch hunt, can win. That's ridiculous, Mick.
I absolutely agree.
But you're not in. Just think, he's lost his job. And then some people said, oh, it's like you when you called that bloke a Nazi. No, it's not. I set out to call that bloke a Nazi,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
About smoking, because he was. Danny made a mistake. Sorry, back to you.
All right, John.
You brought that up, should you?
No. I stand by what I say, John, like you do. But what I'm trying to say is, John, wouldn't the better...
Typical cabbie. He's got an opinion and isn't going to listen to anyone else's
views. Yes, I'm listening to yours, John.
In the cab one day.
But, John, wouldn't the better...
I'm thinking of Mickey Mick.
I know you are. Wouldn't the better gag would have been a little baby clown? That's what I associate circuses with. Little clowns.
That
would have been the better gag, wouldn't it? And he'd still have a job today, wouldn't he?
Michael.
Yes, sir.
That's you, not him.
Right.
He didn't set out to be racist.
No.
He did not set out. And I'll tell you something about Meghan Markle, and I'm going to get shot down by people now. I didn't realise at first she was mixed race or mixed cultural ancestry, when she first appeared on the scene.
I agree.
I'm being absolutely straight with you, right?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that. Once I knew that, then, and also the whole idea of... I think it's a lot of inverse racism. I never look at black people and think they're monkeys.
No.
Because it's flipping stupid, isn't it?
Of course it is. Absolutely. I mean, yes, of course it's absolutely bloody stupid.
I don't think he deserved to get the sack. He should have apologised, which he did. The BBC could have made him apologise again. Listen, the BBC wanted that show off. That's the truth. They don't really like Danny. They don't really like the show. Same with Jeremy Kyle.
Yes,
they want to get rid of the Jeremy Kyle show. Oh, my God, it's so popular. Let's wait for an excuse. Oh, here's the excuse. This poor man, and my thoughts are obviously with him and his family, but it's clearly not a straight-cut case, is it, if you now read what's coming out in the papers. The bottom line is they just wanted to get rid of Kyle and get rid of that kind of programme. And I just think that it's a worry, Mick. than if you live in a society like that. Especially, and you say, oh, you've been bothered by trolls. I mean,
I get hassled by them, but I don't block them.
No longer bother with them because I think they're idiots, so I just don't even read it, right? Yeah. I don't have any time in my life for negativity whatsoever, and that's the way to deal with that.
Yes.
But the truth is, Danny Baker, just think about it for a minute, even if he has got loads of cash, because that's not an excuse either, right. 62, and now no one's going to employ him because that racist tag is going to stick to him. He never set out to be racist. Anyway, move on. What else do you want to talk about?
Okay, no. And getting back to yourself, John, with the comments you made, if I was your station manager when you was working at Talk... Was it Talk Sport you was at? Or Talk Radio, yeah. Whatever it was called then. What was it called?
Talk Sport.
Because I believe... And we've had it with other broadcasters as well. Paul Gambaccini, for example, Neil Fox in the commercial radio world. They are innocent until proven guilty, and indeed you was, John. Now, if I was your studio manager, I would have put out a statement on the radio saying, yes, there's been an allegation, however... He's not been found guilty, and therefore we are standing by our employees. Go on.
No, hang on. Let's not get confused here. Neil Fox and Gambaccini, they were accused of sexual impropriety. I wasn't. I said on air that somebody was acting like a Nazi, was a health Nazi, etc., etc. So there's no need for an inquiry. That's what I said. I don't think that's a reason to lose your job. I'm not in any way suggesting Gambaccini or Fox were guilty. Obviously, they weren't. They were never tried for it. The bottom line is, what I'm saying, it's a different kind of thing, Mick. And what's happened as a result of all this is that talk radio, talks, you know, whatever, the genre of talk radio in this country now is crap because everyone's scared of their shadow. No one will actually say anything in case it gets them the sack.
Yes.
Because of me and because of Jonathan Ross and the Russell Brand episode. That's what's scary. People are censoring themselves. And I think that... I just think free speech is under attack, full stop. There is no free speech.
You're absolutely right, John. And believe it or not, I think, you know, freedom of thought and freedom of speech is an absolute. And I would die for your right to have that. And anybody, I might not agree.
No, you don't have to. It's like Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson got two milkshakes shoved over him. Everybody on Twitter thought that was funny, right?
Yeah.
Jeremy Corbyn got an egg thrown at him. That bloke went to prison for 28 days. The two blokes who shook the milkshakes over him, nothing happened. And Johnny Mercer, an elected MP, thought it was funny. Now, it's not funny because it could have been acid in that in that milkshake. He could have had a knife. Now, what I'm suggesting is this. Tommy Robinson was standing in a general election. If you don't like him, you vote against him. If you do like him, you vote for him. But the moment we start saying it's okay for someone to attack somebody who's a legitimate candidate, which is what he is, the moment we allow anyone to be attacked and not defended by the police, we're on the way to not a banana milkshake republic, but a banana republic. It's scary stuff. Right?
Yeah.
It's really scary stuff. And then you take it further, you know, extrapolate that out. Nigel Farage is going to have an absolute smashing success next Thursday. But they are now trying to smear him and knock him down because he's basically showing what the betrayal is. But it's the same thing. He's now being called far right. He's now being called a fascist. People are saying he shouldn't be, you know, they said with the Danny Baker case. Oh, so the BBC sacked Danny Baker, but they're letting Farage, fascist, go on Question Time. It's just nonsense. We've got to calm this down. If you've got a right-wing view, you should be able to express it. If you say, I want to gas the Jews or I want to kill all blacks, obviously you should be arrested, right?
Yes,
and put away. But what's happening in British politics is they're mixing all these things together. And if people think it's acceptable to throw milkshake at, at Tommy Robinson, that's a very dangerous precedent, especially when they're elected MPs. Do you agree with me?
I absolutely agree with you, John. And it's the same in America. I know you monitor American radio, especially the talking ones. And isn't it funny how the more successful talking heads in America, they're of what would be regarded as the right wing. If anyone left wing tried to start up a radio station, and they tried, never a success.
No, there's never a success. And also now, of course, because the Democrats lost and lost so badly, and because Trump is now so successful, they're trying to close down those conversations, those conservative talk show hosts, you know, whether it's Alex Jones or whether it's anybody else. And in all of this, it's frightening, right? Yeah. It's all frightening. And what annoys me, it's the left wing, it's the liberals, the snowflakes, the ones who are meant to be so liberal, who are actually mostly the fascists, if you see what I mean.
I do, yes.
Free speech is great as long as it's Owen Jones or Sadiq Khan saying Donald Trump shouldn't come to London. But if it's the Countryside Alliance or if it's pro-Brexit people, then they're all knuckle-dragging, racist, fascist bastards, aren't they?
Yes.
And that's just so bad for our democracy, mate.
It absolutely is. And I would suggest to you, John, as a little bit of homework, Tucker Carlson. Now, he's a talk show host, I think, on Fox TV. He came under attack, but he went on the next day, and what a rebuff that he gave against what he called the mob, because that's what it is out here on social media. It's the mob, and the strings being pulled, but in the background as well. It is frightening, scary stuff, but it's thanks to guys like you, and we don't really have any working class heroes. I would regard you as a working class hero, John. Seriously. And I'm not buttering you up because I listen to you, and it's true. We don't have any working class heroes.
Well, that's also because things like the BBC, they'll have diversity and they'll want to get gay people and they'll want to get black people and Asian people in. And all of that I agree with, by the way. But what the BBC also needs is more working class people in it, regardless of their colour, because they're a bunch of middle class, liberal, snowflake, lentil burger eating, open sandal wearing, oh, I'm off to Catalonia, going skinny dipping, liberals. There needs to be a mixture. That's what makes great political debate. And the two-party system is breaking now. So this has got to change. At the moment, it's them and us. It's remain or leave. And after Thursday, next week, the results will come out Sunday night into Monday morning, I think it's going to get even worse, because Farage is going to have an absolutely tsunami of a victory. You must know this. Everybody you talk to is saying, I'm voting Brexit, even if they don't like Farage, right?
Yep.
Now, if that then converts, because May is going, I mean, Boris Johnson, I said in my column, Boris Johnson's best idea now, and I said in my podcast yesterday, is to do a deal with Farage, because if he doesn't, the Conservative Party are going to be destroyed. I don't mean this is going to lead to Farage getting into number 10, but he's certainly going to hold the balance of power, a bit like the DUP do, if there's a general election. And by God, what we don't want is by accident and through the back door having Comrade Corbyn in number 10, aided and abetted by Diane Abacus Abbott as the Home Secretary. Now, that is a nightmare scenario, right?
Yeah.
Which is why I said to everybody, in the local elections, vote UKIP or vote independent or spoil your paper. Now in the Euro elections, everybody should vote Brexit to send a clear message, and then we'll see what goes from there. But I think we'll have an election. May's obviously going to stand down. They're going to block Boris, which is just going to wind people up even more, both in the Conservative Party and the grassroots and indeed in the country. So we're heading for some exciting times, Mick.
Yes.
Exciting times. And by the way, that's not me saying Nigel Farage has got everything right or Nigel Farage is a hero or whatever, but he's our best hope at the moment to get our country back.
Yes, and like you say, John, there are going to be people voting for Brexit, mainly because, or one of the reasons mainly, is because of democracy. They can see that mob in Parliament there at the moment. They don't stand for democracy as such, any of them.
You're right,
and that is the main thing. We got to maintain democracy, and all this is man-made stuff. What's been going on in Parliament for the last 2 years? It's all man-made by them. They create a problem, and then they say, "Oh, but we've got an answer to this problem that's gone on here." And that's the scary thing as well.
I've got the answers. Listen to the Gaunty podcast at www.johngaunt.com. Get on Simple as Fat as well. And there's still more of us than them. That's the way I look at that. And when I mean them, I mean these liberal, elitist, establishment stooges and the controlled mainstream media. We've got to keep free speech alive. Yes. Good luck with your radio station too, Mick. You're doing a cracking job.
Well, bless you, John, and thank you. There's John Gaunt shooting from the lips.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Thank you very much to Mr. John Gaunt there. Gauntie, we recorded that earlier, an exclusive for us, as he was telling us about his Simple as Fat diet. He put a lot of work into really getting down, taking out the chafe from the wheat, and telling us about how it is to regain your life, get your life back, get energy, and good animal fat. Yes, fry-ups and all of that, that's fine. No bread, no cakes, no sugar, no pasta, no rice, but animal fat. Vegetables, yes, and salads, yes, and poultry and fish, all good stuff. All stuff without labels on it. So so check him out, simpleasfat.com. And, of course, he does his daily podcast. I think it's called the John Gaunt Podcast. So check that out as well. I don't know what sort of a week you've had this week. The weather certainly improved, but I had a rubbish week this week, and it all sort of culminated on Wednesday. This part of the podcast is brought to you from Inner Circle Regent's Park. It's now around about 11:30 Wednesday morning. Yeah, shining. Well, I'm just noticing one or two clouds in the sky. And by the sounds of it, I'm not as stressed as I was earlier. I've actually come here to de-stress. My blood pressure, I felt, was really high. And if somebody had looked at me in the wrong way or said anything to me the wrong way, I would have just lost my top and they would have got the whole enchilada of all that's going on in my life and how I'm feeling. So I thought the best thing to do was to come here. And the reason I'm here this early, it's not because there's a demo on today, Wednesday. That's right, between 1 and 4pm, Parliament Square. Yeah, a little get-together in the sunshine, eh, boys and girls, eh? And then what? So that's it, that's all I'm saying about that. Back to more pressing matters. I had a rubbish Tuesday, so getting home fairly, well, a lot earlier than normal. I thought, right, if I wake up early, I'll get up and go to work. So I did wake up, I felt sort of energised. So got myself together and got out on the road, and I suppose I left home, I suppose about 7 o'clock, maybe just after 7. I think it was 7:30 actually. Big mistake, I now realise, because it's taken me twice as long to get into town as it normally would because of it, all the school traffic and people just coming in. And on the way in, it was obviously going to be one of those days where it's just not going to get better, it feels. And I know I am speaking as if this is a woe is me and I'm feeling sorry for myself, but I actually considered bailing out today and going back home. Because just how I am, just how I'm feeling, because it would just take one person to say something to me the wrong way, look at me the wrong way, do something on the road the wrong way, and I would completely blind my top. No, that ain't right. Do you ever get those days where you wake up with the best intentions, you feel energised and you think, yes, okay, out of work, let's go and do some proper work, get some money rolling in, and it just seems what everything's against you doing that, and you think, why me? And you think, I can't be done with this. So that puts you in a bad mood and gives you the ump. You've got no heart or energy or enthusiasm for driving around. It's just a chore. And you really wish you was doing something else other than put up with what you put up with on a daily basis when you're out driving. Now, I know this sounds like, oh, woe is me. I'm feeling sorry for myself. But I suppose I am a bit. It's all part of this mental health awareness thing. And maybe you go through these problems as well. So when you hear me talking like this, you think, yeah, I get days like that. So you don't feel as bad. And that's pretty much what I'm doing here. Being the sort that wears his heart on his sleeve, always being honest. In fact, last week's podcast, I played back to somebody who's not even a cab driver. And he said, but you're telling everyone everything. I said, well, yeah, why not? I'm being honest. But, of course, it's all about building relations, isn't it? It's about you relating to my experiences and vice versa. So I don't wish this to sound about me. I'm merely talking from my own experience as a shared experience. Perhaps you share in the same experience or something similar has happened to you. You catch my drift. So getting back to today, Wednesday, I woke up early, so I thought, right, I know, I'll get up, feeling good, I'll get up and get out to work. However, because by the time I left home, it was like 7:30, and that was a really bad time to be coming out to come into London. Mainly because of the schools and just inbound traffic into central London. So the journey takes twice as long as it does, and by the time you've got here, you feel like you've done a day's work. Anyway, on the way here, I'm thinking, right, I'll go and grab a coffee, and then, oops, I feel a movement. I feel a movement. So I've now got to think, right, I now need to go and deal with this movement. And so I had to go and take care of that at Great Suffolk Street. So I look in the back of the cab, which I've just picked up from the garage on Monday, and lo and behold, a little repair job they said they would do, it sort of fouled, so I've had to bodge it up, and that was like the adverts in the back of the cab on the seat. There's not really a proper board for them to stick it on, so the bloke said, I know what, I'll pack it out, and so build up a board of old adverts, and then we'll stick the latest one on there, and then push it in. Well, lo and behold, then I remembered somebody yesterday saying, oh, your advert thing has fallen on the floor in the back of your cab. That's really professional, isn't it? So that was one thing. So I dealt with that, plus dealt with my movement. Now I'm thinking, I need a proper coffee. Not from GSS, but I'm thinking I need what I normally have, which is a coffee with double cream. So I went in search of that, and God, I don't know what the problem was on Waterloo Bridge, but both the bus lane and the underpass was blocked. Now, I don't normally get stuck in underpass traffic like that, and when you got through to the Kingsway, everything was, well, it was normal congestion. There was no reason for it to be like that. So that delayed me even more. Then I get my coffee and I'm thinking, you know what, it's just traffic everywhere. What is the point of heading off with me light on just to sit in traffic? Hence why I'm here, because the other option, I would have just turned around and gone home. That's how I was feeling. I know it's a demo. Yes, that's right. Another day in the sunshine with all your mates. Yay! We're demoing. Are we? Really? Yeah, it wouldn't have bothered me if I didn't turn up for that, to be honest with you. But I'm just talking me personally. I've got my own problems, thank you very much. As I'm sure you have as well. So, what's the old saying? If you've got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all. Well, I've got nothing good to say about it, so I'm saying nothing at all. So then I decided to come here to the Oasis that's Inner Circle Regent's Park, which is where I'm relaying this to you. So I think it will be Mick, back to you in the studio.
The Mick the Brit podcast.
So that was it. That was my week. And of course we was in Parliament Square demonstrating. So that's about it for now. Have yourself a great week. We're back, hopefully, we're back around about the same time next week. We're not very consistent with our podcasting uploading at the moment, but we will try to get better, work permitting. This has been a Mick the Brit podcast. Thanks very much. Thank you for listening and downloading. And until the next time, ta-da. Oh,